Hello and welcome to the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Greetings, friends, and we'll start with an apology about my husky voice. I've been struck with a nasty cold in the middle of our run of Yippee-ki-yay, which I'm doing my best to fight off and not let it affect my performance. Now, speaking of performances, yes, January may be a bit of a miserable month, but there's so much theatre going on locally to help warm your soul, and indeed involve yourself in if you're so inclined. But perhaps with limited time and budget, it can be difficult to know which one might be the right show for you, and that's where I step in, possibly. I try and speak to local creatives working on current productions and chat with them in a bit more detail than they're usually afforded on mediums such as local radio. But what kind of introduction is that? Hi everyone, my name is Ray Tempesta, but you can call me Husky, and I'm the host of this podcast, which has been described as surprisingly tolerable. My aim is to shine a ruddy great spotlight on the theatre happening in our wonderful region, whether that's by reviewing shows, interviewing those involved, or simply giving a shout out to some of the shows and auditions coming up. I love theatre, and it's important to me that local creatives and venues aren't overlooked in favour of bigger budget offerings in places such as the West End. Now, if you want to get involved in the podcast, my figurative door is always open. You can join the conversation by following the East Anglian Theatre Podcast on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram. You can also take a look at my website, eatpod.co.uk. That's eatpod.co.uk. Here you'll find all episodes of the podcast, plus written versions of the reviews I produce, and a page to contact me to tell me how much you hated me in Yippee-ki-yay, or to request being featured on the show. Your choice. But enough of that. What have I been up to lately? Well, I've told you a fair bit about Yippee-ki-yay, and we had some lovely audiences at the beautiful Galston Pavilion Theatre last week. At the time of recording this, we've had our opening night at the Madder Market, which went brilliantly. It was almost a full house and a really, really enthusiastic audience who've given us some fantastic feedback, and I'm really excited for the remainder of the run and for the potential future of the production and the company behind it, Open Door Theatre. Now, as you can imagine, I've not had a chance to watch anything else, but I'm hoping to catch some shows next week when I've got some time free again. I've also recently signed up to be involved in a production of Hobson's Choice by Harold Brighouse, which will be staged at Sheringham Little Theatre in March. I've not really had the time to give the script any kind of attention yet, but I had the chance to meet some of my fellow castmates at our first rehearsal recently, and they seemed like a great bunch. As is often the case for me when I join a production, I seldom know anyone, and that was the case again this time, as I walked into another room full of strangers. But there was no time for awkward introductions or trivial small talk, we just got straight into it. And without having even thought about it in advance, I found myself delivering my lines with a Lancashire accent, or at least I think it was Lancashire anyway. So that was a surprise to me. I'll be back with the group again soon, and I'll let you know in future episodes how it's coming along. For info, though, it's on from the 23rd to the 25th of March, and tickets can be purchased via sheringhamlittletheatre.com. Now, enough about me, let's move on to the best part, the interview. And I'd like to introduce you to a chap who's been crafting a fine reputation for his work on a number of productions in Norfolk and Suffolk. He's currently taking on the directorial reins at the Madder Market in Norwich for their in-house production of Dead Funny by Terry Johnson. The chap in question, his name is Joe Flatt. So, without further ado, which is a shame because I do so enjoy to do, let's have a chat with Joe, shall we? Welcome, Joe, to your very own slot on the East Anglian Theatre Podcast.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's lovely. Well, I would say it's lovely to have you on. I always say that at the beginning of the interview, having not carried out the interview. So, you know, perhaps I should reserve judgment for later.
Good idea.
Let's see how this turns out. I'm here, you're here. Let's get on with this.
100%.
So, the production you're directing, Dead Funny, I guess the most obvious question is, what's it about?
So, it's set in 1992, April 1992, actually, when it's announced that Benny Hill has passed away. It follows a group of five people, four of which are part of the Dead Funny Society, who kind of come together to worship and celebrate comedians of the era. Mm-hmm. So that would include your Morecambe and Wise, your Benny Hill, as I've said, your Frankie Howard, some Norman Wisdom, Tommy Cooper, all those kind of classics. But Eleanor, who is Richard's wife, is not too impressed by the society. However, she can't avoid it because it's taking place in her own home.
Okay.
So it follows an evening where the society come together to celebrate the life and mourn Benny Hill. And we watch as Eleanor interferes with this, especially because she is longing for a child, yet Richard claims to be celibate. But you'll need to watch the rest of the show to find out more of that one.
Right.
It's as you can guess from what I've just said, there are risque moments. It's very fun. Lots of twists in the plot. There is some language. There is some partial nudity, and there's a custard pie fight as well. So it's got a lot going on for it.
So quite heavy on the production side potentially.
Yes, our stage manager is doing a wonderful job. Yes. There is a lot that goes on, and with the space that we're in some ways people say it's limited. However, it gives so many creative possibilities.
I was going to ask about that. Obviously, the performance itself is being staged in the Emerson studio where we're recording this.
Yes.
Was this production particularly hand-picked for performance in this space?
So I chose to play, and I knew I was going to be using the studio space.
Okay.
So I had a couple of plays in mind, one written by Spike Milligan and one written by Terry Johnson, which is dead funny. So as you can tell, I was looking for something quite silly and creative and out of the ordinary and relating to comedians. So this room can seat about 45 to 50 people. It is quite a small space. At points it does get slightly echoey. You might hear it on the audio. I'm sure you won't. And so it's going to be a very intimate space. The audience are going to be very much in the action. There might be a splash zone with the custard pies. But that's kind of the fun of it. The fun of it is the audience being immersed into the space, into the room with these characters. The characters are real people. The actors do an incredible job of making them seem very natural. And, I mean, there's moments when they're laughing. And I'm like, oh, they've just broken character. But no, they're laughing within the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so normal and feels so like as if I'm just in the room with Richard, Eleanor, Nick, Lisa and Brian. It's just insane. And I think that's the beauty of this room. We're going to be using flats, very colourful flats with a 90s design to enclose the space and make it feel like a living room. And the music and the lighting will also help to develop that as well.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of watching a show here in the studio. I saw Art at some point in the autumn last year.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect venue for that sort of thing because it was just set in one fairly intimate space. And you as an audience member really, really felt part of the action.
Yeah.
You sort of felt in on the jokes.
Yes, you certainly will at points. You might feel a little bit too into the jokes. But that's one part of the fun of it, isn't it, really?
And the production opens on, is it the 31st of January?
31st of January,
yeah,
yes.
You're fairly deep into the rehearsal process now. How have the rehearsals been going?
Rehearsals have been wonderful, really good fun. The beginning was a little bit stressful. I came down with COVID, then a couple of other cast members got ill. But we've handled it really, really well.
Because this is one of those awkward ones where you've had Christmas kind of interrupting
yes.
it. I know one of your cast members, Georgie, was in the New Stages pantomime as
yes,
well.
She was. So we had to work around that as well. But the good thing is we have been all very accommodating to the fact that everyone's been ill or had other things to do. And it's been lovely. The rehearsals have been very productive. Always laughing.
Mm.
We have a wide variety of characters in the room. And I'm talking about the actors here. some really knowledgeable, talented individuals. And it's just fun to make each other laugh.
Because this is a cast of five, isn't it?
It's a cast of five.
Yeah.
With some extras doing some voiceover work for us.
Okay.
So, yeah, Rouse has been great. We did the custard pie fight the other day, which was very messy. Me and Harry, the stage manager, we also ended up getting brought into it. and that's looking like a treat. There's some singing in the show, so that's been really fun because I think singing is just a very positive and uplifting thing to do anyway. So then when you're doing it in rehearsal, even those that hadn't really sung much before, we're all getting stuck involved and that's going to be lovely as well. The rehearsals have just been great. I could work with this cast for a long, long time if I could. Hope that comes across on stage. I really do.
Yeah, with a small cast, that's key that you get on well with them. When I last saw you in action, well, technically in action, I saw the product of your work
yes.
as the assistant director on Three Musketeers.
Yes.
which is obviously a completely different experience because it was much more of a large, you know, ensemble cast. How have you found sort of going from that to this?
So, I mean, Three Musketeers was a fantastic show to assistant direct on. And as you say, it's very, very different. The characters are well-known characters with very specific qualities. Whereas with a play like this, although the characters are written a specific way, the actors can play with it a little bit because the audience don't know what they're coming into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this play has been done several times before. However, it's not one that everyone would perhaps have on the forefront of their mind. So the actors can play with the characters, and I'm quite character-driven. I like doing a lot of character work, a lot of improv stuff. Trying to work out who the character is outside of the event of the show, so then it's easier to bring them into it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always, when you've got smaller casts, there's always more time to work one-to-one or to work on specific scenes. And this show doesn't have any sword fighting either. So that makes it a little bit easier in terms of we can just focus on the acting. So, yeah, there are differences, but there's also similarities as well. We've got a couple of members of the same cast as well, Shem and Bradley, who were very much involved in Musketeers and actually played two of the comedic relief. So, you know, they are playing slightly similar roles in this as well.
Mm. So, yeah, this is probably the final promo question, really, about Dead Funny. Mm. Now, aside from the obvious sex appeal that Bradley Clark brings to the production, why else do you think audiences should come and see it?
I think it is a wildly funny, silly and creative show where you watch five people in a realistic setting go through the most traumatic experiences of their lives, that it's really funny. And it is quite bittersweet as well. There are some sad moments and some moments where I think there'll be pure silence in the room. But I think if you love your comedy, if you love your classic comedians like Morecambe Wise, like your Frankie Howard, like your Tommy Cooper, like your Norman Wisdom, then this is a show for you. There's lots of quotes, there's some impressions done, and there's lots of singing from things that they've done. And it's like a homage to comedy, which was years ago, before I was even born.
I was going to say, are you looking to your, you know, perhaps photos of your parents' living room in order to get inspiration?
Yes. Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, definitely, definitely.
For the 90s design.
For sure. And even if you don't know the comedians, there's so much dark humour, especially from Eleanor. So witty. There's a whole running thing throughout the show that Eleanor isn't funny. But from my point of view, and I think the audience's as well, is Eleanor is probably the funniest person in the room.
Mm.
It's just, she has such a different sense of humour. She's very sarcastic, she's very witty, not too dissimilar from comedians nowadays. So I really do, I think even if you don't know the comedians, I think you will be able to relate to at least one of these characters.
Mm.
Yeah, the actors are fantastic. They bring the characters really well. The character of Brian Mars does that incredibly. Really touching moments. I won't reveal anything, but he has this beautiful monologue where he says something quite personal to his life and his identity. And it's completely different from the rest of the show.
Mm.
And it also gives a glimpse of the times as well. And different opinions and views as well. It's just a step out of this into the 90s, but also glimpses into what society is like today as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you're giving such a long form explanation of it. Actually,
yeah, I could talk for ages. Well, I apologise.
Only because from an outsider perspective, it's easy to look at the play and just dismiss it as just a comedy.
Yeah,
but it sounds like there's so many more layers to it than that.
Oh, there certainly is.
Now, obviously, I've mentioned Three Musketeers that you worked on. You're now working on this. What is it about the Madam Market that keeps people coming back, to the creatives to be involved here?
Oh, I think it's a community feel. I really do think it's the opportunities. There's quite a few opportunities. There's a few more going throughout the year. I know they've just cast The History Man, and they're working on that and rehearsing for that at the moment. In fact, I think one of our actors is potentially involved in that as well. There's just so many opportunities, and the Manor Market is such a friendly place to be, you know, even if you don't know someone, because there's multiple times I walk in and I'm like, oh, I don't know that face. And it's so friendly. Everyone's so smiley and we get to know each other. And it's just a really... And the theatre at the venue is a brilliant space.
Mm.
I mean, as I said, we're in the studio, but the stage is lovely. And the balcony and the windows. One day I'll do something with that balcony. I will be really creative with that. It's just a creative, fun space. And just, yeah, so much you can do. I mean, there's people who have been here for years and years. I had the pleasure of working with David Newham, who was in Three Musketeers, and he's been here for donkeys. I think he was saying something like over 100 plays he'd been in or something like that. And it's like, that's insane.
Mm.
So obviously there is something bringing people here.
Yeah.
Anyone who's looking to audition for something, I completely recommend it.
And now moving on to your own history in the theatre. Mm. What was it that sparked your interest in theatre?
So I went to university to do drama and theatre. I did a lot of performing. I did a lot of writing slightly before that and during that as well. And I was looking to go into performing. But then COVID hit and I started directing a lot more. And I've gotten into the directing spirit so much. I love being creative. And sometimes acting has its limits and its boundaries, and you can't always be as creative as you want to be. And also I'm terrible at learning lines. And I just got swept into the beauty of being backstage, whether that is stage managing or production. I've just finished a tour of Journey's End, production managing that, where we went to the Isle of Wight and to Surrey and a few other places. Really, and a beautiful show as well. If you haven't seen Journey's End, just a play, not meaning our version of it, just any is beautiful and really striking. But anything to do with the creative team or the production, I love, because there's just, it's also that thing of being able to help the cast and to provide and to guide the show in the way that you think it will do its best. I would say I'm quite a collaborative director. There's points in the room where people come up with ideas and we're like, that's so much better than what we were doing. Let's do that. My opinion is I am one opinion, I'm one person, and the people coming into this room, and they're going to have so many more different opinions to me. You need people jumping in and providing ideas. That's the fun of it. That's theatre is collaborative and it should be.
So looking back before you attended uni and did performing arts there, what was it that prompted you to be involved in the first place?
I apologise. That was the original question.
That's okay. That's fine. We'll edit this in such a way that it looks seamless and like you paid attention to what I was saying.
So, no, I got into it from school. I think I was always a little bit creative and always loud. And I think a teacher pulled me aside and just said, you should be doing drama.
We need to harness that energy somehow.
Yeah, we need to. You should be doing drama. You should be, you know, performing and do some theatre. So I auditioned for the play, got stuck in, and haven't looked back since. And
yeah.
Just completely love it. Yeah.
So is this? Are we talking local, or did you grow up around here?
I come from Lowestoft.
Okay.
So more Suffolk than Norfolk, but.
Sorry, this is the East Anglian Theatre Podcast. Well, exactly. So you're on safe territory.
Very true. Yes, so I did a lot of stuff in Lowestoft with like the B&B Theatre Company. And then my first couple of shows that I wrote and produced were put on at the Seagull Theatre. So although I did leave to go to Canterbury for a little bit for university, heart's always been in Norfolk and Lowestoft area, just because there is so much you can do and there's so much opportunity. And it's so easy to make your opportunities here as well, because people are willing to give you a chance.
Yeah. I mean, you're still very young.
Yes.
That's what strikes me. As soon as I walked in the room, I thought, you bastard.
Look at you. Yeah, no, I am the youngest in the room for Dead Funny, only by year, but still.
Actually, do you find that at all intimidating?
No. I think I probably did when I first started directing people older than me.
Yeah.
But I think, as I said earlier about the collaborative kind of, when you are welcoming ideas and it's more a discussion as opposed to a director instructing, then I think you're open to hearing people's ideas and the knowledge that people have. Mars, who's in the cast, he is a connoisseur of the voice. He knows everything. He's fantastic He's done a lot of voiceover work and stuff. So as soon as it comes to doing impressions, I'm asking of his advice, because he knows way more than I do about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to, you know, I want to learn. And I think that's the great thing about being a young director working with older people, is I can learn and I can get to know different techniques of how to work with different people.
Mm.
I think there's so much more directing people my age, just my age. I think that would get quite exhausting, actually, and would get quite samey.
Yeah.
Whereas a wider variety means just a wider variety of the show as well.
Yeah.
I've seen Dead Funny being done with a cast my age before, and it just didn't have as much of the depth as perhaps one with an older cast could have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me. That's not me being rude about the show at all. I really enjoyed it. But especially the character Mars plays, Brian, I think, after working on this, does need to be an older character, because there's so much. He is such a sensitive and endearing character who should have lived a life in order to come to the conclusions that he has about himself.
If you're anything like me and most other people involved in theatre, you've always got half an eye on what might be next. You obviously got a few weeks, you know, of immersing yourself still, yes, in Dead Funny, yes, but have you got an idea of what might be next for you?
So in 2022, myself and a couple of other friends, we formed together a theatre company called Burnt Coffee. And we are currently working on shows for the upcoming year. So we've got a script called Untying the Knot that we're working on, and can't give too many details away, mainly because we're still confirming them. But that's going to be a really, really fun show. And that's a new writer, a new script, and a new company coming together. And I think it's really cool, because new writing and new theatre is always fun.
Mm.
And always a bit of a gamble. And that's the fun of it. So, and I'm hoping to work with Man Market and The Stool Barn again soon. And yeah, a couple of ideas locked away, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier about having in the past written and
yes,
produced a show. Mm. Are you writing anything currently? I mean, are you writing for Burnt Coffee?
So I am writing for them at the moment. Had to take a little step back because life's been quite busy in the past few months. But I am working on a couple of things. Something I really like to do is take something to Edinburgh Fringe, because that's something I haven't done yet. I took something to Camden Fringe in the last couple of years, and that was great fun. But Edinburgh Fringe is something I really want to go to, take a show, because I feel like that's a bucket list for anyone who does theatre, is take something to Edinburgh Fringe. So I'm currently writing something for that. And I've got a couple of musicals that I would like to do something with. It's just finding the resources and time.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's in the new year. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm learning with theatre that it's very spontaneous. You have to take things as they come. And it's exciting.
Right. Well, I think that just about covers absolutely everything, really.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to come and see Dead Funny. Yeah, so good luck with it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So there we have it. What a lovely guy, eh? If you like the cut of Joe's jib and you want to see for yourself what he's capable of, why not get yourself over to the Madder Market between the 31st of January and the 4th of February to see Dead Funny? Visit maddermarket.co.uk for tickets. Now, what else is coming up in the region in the next few weeks? Well, if you're not quite done with Panto yet, over on the Suffolk coast, you can watch Snow White by Radon and Southwold Pantomime Group at the Southwold Arts Centre between the 29th of January and the 4th of February. Tickets are available via southwoldartscentre.co.uk. Staying in Suffolk and at the new Wolsey Theatre in Ipswich, you can catch a production called DNA by Dennis Kelly between the 2nd and 9th of February. It's a black comedy drama where a group of teenagers do something bad, concoct a cover-up, and then trigger a series of events which leads to their survival skills and morality being put to the test. Over in Cambridge, the Cambridge University Musical Theatre Society, bit of a mouthful that one, will be opening their production of Stephen Sondheim's Sunday in the Park with George on the 7th of February at the ADC Theatre. It runs until the 11th of February, and tickets can be booked via adctheatre.com. And back in Norwich, Threshold Theatre Company is advertising for auditionees for their next production, The Brilliant Young Frankenstein, or Young Frankenstein, of course. They're hosting an optional info and sing-through evening on the 6th of February, followed by a dance workshop on the 8th and auditions on the 12th of February. You can visit their website, thresholdtheatrecompany.co.uk, for more audition info. As usual, I'll post links for all the shows and auditions mentioned on my social media over the next week or so, and that, my friends, is that for another episode. Thanks ever so much for listening to me and Joe ramble on, and tune in next time to hear from someone else. I've got some interviews lined up. I can't remember what order they'll go out in. Slightly shambolic ending there, but meh, what are you going to do? Anyway, until next time, take care of yourselves and go watch some theatre. Bye.